Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Aubrey Marchione from the American Dance Wheels Foundation. So tell me a little bit about your experience with the American Dance Wheels Foundation.
Well, I originally got involved with American Dance Wheels Foundation when the founder, Melinda Kremer, was taking lessons at a studio where I work. And that's the first time I saw wheelchair dancing. And I instantly wanted to become involved, and I tried it out. I thought it was really neat. It was creative. It was athletic, and it was different. So that's how originally I got involved in American Dance Wheels Foundation. And now I'm actually the artistic director of the foundation, and it's a really great organization. We train a lot of different teachers, therapists, ballroom dancers in the art of wheelchair dancing so that it can spread across the United States. We've even trained people abroad in Canada and England, Russia, and we have a lot of different programs and we're really excited about the progress we're making this year.
So, how does the practice of wheelchair dancing differ from the able-bodied equivalent? What are different?
You know, it's not really, a lot of people ask me that, and it's not really that much different. The only thing that's different using a wheelchair is the wheelchair can't go side to side. So, it's steps that, you know, you would do on two standing feet where you would step to the side. A wheelchair can't do that, so we have to adapt those types of steps to someone using a wheelchair. Most of the other stuff is very similar. The connection is similar to standing people. You know, the spinning is very similar. So it's not that much different. It's just a little bit of adaptations to certain steps, and there's adaptations for people. The different ability levels that people have too. Some people come to us and they have a power chair to use. So that's a little bit different because you're not holding, you might be holding one hand instead of two hands. Some people, especially the gentlemen, we really focus on, our program really focuses on the man leading. And some guys come to us and they can only move their head. So they lead with their head and their eyes. But that's a little bit different.
So there was a recent announcement concerning the foundation and an appearance on ESPN3. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, well, we were really excited to be included in the Pan American Games this year. The Pan American Games are the third largest sporting event in the world, and they called me to choreograph a number for part of the closing ceremonies. And I got a group together and we traveled there. We performed in the closing ceremonies as well as part of Panamania, which is a 35-day arts festival that accompanies the game. And it was really special. It actually, our performance at the closing ceremonies marked the 25th anniversary of the ADA. So it was really special in that way. And Panamania, one of my dancers said one of his most memorable moments at performing at Nathan Phillips Square, which is the heart of Toronto, that was Panamania performance, was the reaction from the children We had a lot of children come up to us after we performed, and they were asking questions. And, you know, children are very curious about disability, and a lot of the times they're prevented from asking questions. It was great that they could come up to us, they could ask us questions, they could learn not to be scared of someone with a disability. They could see how similar we all are, and see the capabilities of people with different ability levels. So it was really great.
So, on that subject, if you could send any one message about the need for education of young people, what would you say?
I'm sorry, you cut out. Could you repeat that one more time?
So, if you could send any one message about why it's important to educate young people about disabilities, what would you say?
Well, I think it's, I think that children should be, should be allowed to ask questions. And I think that's the only way that people learn. I know from my personal experience, you know, growing up, I was able to do so, and I think that was why I was more open to working with people who had disabilities my whole life. And I think that a lot of kids are scared because they just feel that you know, if you look different and you use something different for mobility, you know, you must be really different. And that's not the case. It's everyone is. It doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair or not. People are people, and I think that that's really important for children to ask questions, because that's the only way they're going to learn.
So, what are the next steps for the foundation?
Well, we have a lot of different programs and branches of the organization. I did mention teacher training, and that's something that we're going to continue to do. We started a new program of teaching on Skype. So a lot of people call us, and they don't have a program or a teacher in their area. And the only way that we decided we could fix that is by teaching online. So we've actually had a lot of success teaching that way. Until a teacher in the area becomes available. So that's one of our programs, is online lessons. And then another one of our programs is actually school programs, in-school programs. We have a very successful program in the Philadelphia School District. It's for middle and high school children, and it integrates some of the college kids from the local college with the high school and middle school children. And it's a great program for, you know, physical activity and for in-school and in-school art program. So we're actually expanding that to two new schools, hopefully this year. We're writing grants right now for that. And so that's an initiative that we're doing. And then my personal goals, I want to continue to do a lot of performance work, such as the Pan American Games. I would like to do, you know, maybe get us on Dancing with the Stars, like do some really cool performances, performance work, and that seems to be really exciting for our dancers, and I definitely want to continue that and continue maybe to have competitions and higher level, you know, performances.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Absolutely, thank you.
Of course. I find it fascinating that the Dance Wheels Foundation is using something such as Skype to teach others how to create accessible dance programs. Fact is, for a person in a wheelchair, they're no more or less likely to enjoy arts performances than anyone else. And for a person with a disability who chooses to get involved in the arts, for them, it can be a means of bold expression, saying to the world, I have a talent that I want to share. I have a capability. And all that really matters when it comes to something like that is the impact of the work. Not that the person creating it necessarily had a disability. Art is about what it means to you, how it reaches you. And the fact is, for these individuals being given a chance to be out there, very public forum, share their gifts, share their talents, can be the opportunity of a lifetime. It's very true that every person with a disability, like every able-bodied person, has hopes, dreams, goals, all their own. And being involved in the arts can be a great way of expressing this. But the tragedy lies when a person says, my disability would hold me back, or I don't want to try this because I might look silly. So what? Life is all about taking that risk, taking that step, seeing what you're really capable of before you decide something's hopeless or impossible. Fact of the matter is, a person with a disability, like an able-bodied person, is not going to know their own strengths, their own limits, if they're ruled by the perception of what could be. Medical science, for all that it is good, is not an exact science, in my estimation. It can give you a baseline model of how a condition can affect a person, but it cannot factor in the individual's strength. Those who would choose to defy the odds, those who would say, this is how it could affect me, but it's not going to. For anyone with a gift they want to share with the world, a strength, a passion for this sort of work, I would urge them to get out there, give it a try, before they say, it didn't work, it wouldn't work, because I have this or that condition. A person with a disability, like any of us, might at times underestimate themselves. This is the greatest pitfall in disability life. But when you see that there are people out there creating and achieving, because their work is just so strong, not because people are taking pity on them or just feeling that they have to appreciate the work. No. People recognize when art is meaningful. When a person with a disability brings that to the table, it's no less meaningful than when an able-bodied person does. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Did you know that it's the law for all Ontario homes, cottages, and cabins to have working smoke alarms on every story and outside all sleeping areas? When you visit your summer getaway this year, remember, smoke alarms and a proper fire evacuation plan should be in place. Here are some tips for a safe, fire-free vacation. Test smoke alarms upon your arrival to your cottage or cabin. Develop and practice a fire escape plan to ensure everyone knows what to do if the fire alarm sounds. Clean the barbecue before using and keep an eye on all lit barbecues. This ensures all combustibles, as well as children and pets, are kept away. Fires can happen when barbecues and campfires are left unattended. Burn candles in sturdy candle holders that will not tip over. When you go out, blow it out. Have fun this summer while preventing fires. Find more tips and information at mcsc.gov.on.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Aubrey Marchione from the American Dance Wheels Foundation. This next interview was a post-dated one, so some of the events referenced may already have passed. In this segment of our show, we'll be getting an update from Jenna Lambert on PUSH. So, tell me the latest happenings with PUSH.
The latest happenings with PUSH? Well, we have been deep into rehearsals and just getting ready, getting prepped for the show. We have our first sort of technical rehearsal in the actual theater tomorrow, which is pretty exciting. And we've added some music and some video, and we've been able to finally see those that kind of come together and been finalized. And there will be live percussion during the show. So the man who's doing that, Louise, came in and was working with us a little bit, and that was really cool because we hadn't done that before. So that's happened a couple of times in the last since we last spoke, and it's been really exciting. We've been doing lots of rehearsing, going over the show, coming together more, and that's been really great because we're kind of ironing out the kinks and just sort of shaving down all the rough edges and coming together really nicely. So it's been exciting.
So, for those who missed our prior interview, can you give me a bit of an overview of Push?
Certainly. So, Push is a performance, a theatrical performance that is, it's been written by Ping Chong and Sarah Zatt from Ping Chong & Co. They're from New York, and they were hired by Tangled Art and Disability, which is an organization within the city of Toronto that is sort of an umbrella organization that deals with and incorporates disability and the arts. And so Ping and Co. were hired by Tangled Art and Disability to write a script around the lives of six para-athletes who have experience in sort of upper-level competition, which we're now experiencing in Toronto with the Para-Canadian Games. And so the script sort of tells the story of each of our lives in a very unique way.
So how has the community responded thus far to this work?
The community, truthfully, has been pretty incredible. It's been great to see. I mean, in terms of the performances, we haven't made it there yet, but they're all sold out so far as I know. I'm not sure if they're all sold out, but I know a number of the evenings are sold out. And that's pretty cool in terms of, you know, what this production sort of is and what it embodies, what it encompasses, and just in terms of the community response, people are very interested and want to hear about it, and that's pretty cool. We had a reading, actually our first day of rehearsal a number of weeks ago, we had a reading with Ryerson students, and that was cool also. Like, I think they just approached one of the Tangled Art people and were like, we want to have this reading at the school, and that's where we've been rehearsing, and at Ryerson, at a building of Ryerson University, and that in itself is pretty cool. They've opened up the space for us, and So the response, to my knowledge, has been pretty incredible.
So what are your thoughts on including individuals with disabilities in the theater? Do you think it's important? Or
I definitely think it is. I mean, I'm not an actor of any kind, really. I wouldn't consider myself very artistic in a sense. Just, I mean, I love the theater and I love, you know, go and see performances and all that stuff, but I'm an athlete and it's been really neat for me to come together with five other athletes to tell our story. And we don't come from theatrical backgrounds, but I think we're doing pretty well. And it's been really neat to see sort of and to be involved in the theater. When we go to the actual theater tomorrow, that'll be even cooler because I've never been, you know, I've never performed on a stage like that. I was in a play in high school, but other than that, like, I've never been sort of on a real theater or on a real stage like that. And so I think it's really awesome to have this opportunity to be included in the arts. And in terms of your question, involving people with disabilities in the theater, in the arts, I don't really think that should be, you know, as much of a question as it is. I mean, if they are artistic people, then of course they should be involved in the theater, and of course that's important. They should do what, you know, people should do, people in general should do, you know, go where their passions are and do what they, you know, are sort of fit to do, whatever their passions are. And so I think what's important is to continue to decrease the sort of barriers that happen in terms of the arts and disability, and looking at whatever those barriers what? We're all just people doing our thing, and we all have different ability levels, and we all have different stuff, but, you know, we're all talented in our own ways, and we all have our own unique gifts to bring to the table, whether it's the arts or it's sports, in my case, or wherever it is.
So, I take it this philosophy tends to show itself as an athlete. I've heard many times that a person with a disability is just out there doing what they love to do, not thinking about any perceived limitation. Any thoughts on this?
I would completely agree with you. I mean, truthfully, I grew up with an incredible group of friends and a really great community, a very supportive family, and I had some, we all hit rough patches, and we all, you know, kind of sit back and think, where do I belong in this world? But I'm just a person out there doing my thing, and I love sports. I love swimming. It's my passion, one of my passions. I'm a university student. I just graduated from Carleton, and you know, like, I have a great group of girlfriends, and we go out and we have fun, and I'm just out there doing my thing. So I think, like, if you took me as, you know, one example, and unless I come across a barrier because of my disability, unless I'm, you know, sort of unable to do something because I walk with crutches or I use a scooter for longer distances, I don't really think about having a disability. It's not something that's on my mind. I'm just somebody out there doing my thing, just like the rest of us.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Of course.
I find it remarkable that Push uses actual athletes to share their life stories. Yes, it's easy to put together based on a true story or have someone else portray a person with a disability telling their story. But having Jenna tell it in her own words, talking about her actual experiences, brings a very literal, very concrete feel to her story and gave her a chance to branch outside that aspect of disability life that she knows the best. She's an athlete, a skilled one. But the fact is, you don't often get to hear an athlete go in depth about what it means to be a person with a disability using such strength. But this way of bringing it to the public, a very meaningful and enjoyable way. If you've got a message to bring to the able-bodied community about disability life, my opinion, works best if you do so in a way that's relatable and enjoyable. One of the show's previous guests, Sean Forbes, is a deaf rapper. He uses his artistic expression in a way that's accessible to everyone, and you reach more of an audience that way. That's what disability life is all about, building bridges of understanding, challenging the myths and the first glance perceptions. Fact of the matter is, society's never going to grow in their understanding and even their enlightenment unless individuals with disabilities get out there and take chances such as Push, say, we're part of the community. We have a great story to share, a great message to bring to all of you. And you do that, it will succeed. If you've got a message of equality and hope, and yes, even a life story of a person with a disability, you must never underestimate the impact of that. A person talking about their circumstances, what it means to them to be able to get out there, play their sport, do their performance, give it all that they've got. Once the able-bodied community recognizes this, Seeing a performance such as Push can be an eye-opening experience, in so much as they might start to recognize these individuals have greater strength than they ever realized. But once you learn the strength of a person with a disability, it's not a door that can be shut again. You might start to ask yourself, this person managed to achieve. What else can they do? What can those of similar conditions do? And if you start looking for that strength in day-to-day life, you start to notice these individuals far more capable than you might initially have thought at just first glance. It's all about looking beyond the surface, asking deeper questions. If you want to know what a person with a disability can do, ask them. Spend some time with them. Listen to their story. No one can tell you better a person's life story than they can. So for Jenna, this was a remarkable opportunity to be able to talk about her work, how it's impacted her, and what the steps are going forward. But really, I hope she does engage in similar performances. Fact is, there's no real reason that a person with a disability has to be singularly focused. Say, I'm great as an athlete, that's all I need to be. For her, this was an opportunity to discover new skills and to share those gifts with a grateful public and even with herself, and finding out what her acting abilities really are. Art and disability life are not so different. They're both about expression, about bringing new perceptions, new ideas to the world. And the fact is, life is a beautiful thing. No matter if a person has a condition or they don't, all life is an expression of beauty and potential. And for a person with a disability, getting out there, being a part of the performance scene, is doing just that. It's bringing a world out there, new ideas, new hopes, new understanding, which we all so desperately need. Many of us long for. Never be afraid to ask the questions. Never be afraid to say to a person with a disability, do you think you can do this, or do you think you might need a hand? It's not a shameful thing when a person asks for help. It's a matter of recognizing your own potentials, your own strengths. That being said, one must never limit those strengths. They must never say to themselves, this is what I can do, and this is all I can do, without exploring greater possibilities. Which is really what I'm taking away from Jenna's interview. She grew as a person in embracing new strengths, new ideas. And once a person does that, shows up in all facets of their life, can bring new confidence, new wisdom to everyday life, recognizing that a person's skills are diverse. And that is the hallmark of disability life, recognizing one's gifts, recognizing one's potentials. And if one chooses to share that with the world out there, more power to them. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.